In the name of Jesus. Blessed Ascension of our Lord. Yesterday, we celebrated the Lord's Ascension, but I wonder if this feast might still mean something or anything to you. I started Theologia 3 class yesterday after chapel with a greeting, "Happy Ascension Day," and there wasn't the most enthusiastic reaction to it. Is the ascension of our Lord good news for you? Did he ascend into heaven for you? As most of you know, and of course all of you know, that I am from Japan. This means that I don't often get to meet with my folks. 4 years ago, my parents came to see us and stayed with us for about a month. And that was great because we didn't need to travel all the way back to Japan and because we could save a lot of money for airline tickets. But then I received an order from on high, from President Harrison's office. "Masaki, you will now go to Japan with me and my team to see our friends over in Japan, the Lutheran Church is there, and also to visit the tsunami site." It was right after that devastating earthquake and tsunami. "You will be our interpreter," he said. So I had no other choice but to travel to Japan for free. And with, of course, much joy. But while my parents were still in Fort Wayne, I realized that this is such a poor illustration, but I suspect that for many people, the ascension of the Lord still means something like this. You try to find him where he is not. You try to find him there in heaven while he is found here on earth. We hear in the liturgy, "Lift up your hearts," and we answer, "We lift them up unto the Lord." John Calvin used this liturgical phrase to try to prove his interpretation of the Lord's Supper. "Our hearts must be drawn to heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that our hearts may commune spiritually with Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God." He said that the confession of Jesus is giving his body and blood for us to eat and to drink here on earth in the church is the most ridiculous and blasphemous notion, because we are now dragging Christ down from heaven to earth. Well, if you follow such a teaching, the ascension of the Lord is never a good news for you. He is at remote location, locked in, like a youth group. He is not here. By ascension, he has removed himself from you and from the church. Maybe the 12 disciples were a little bit Calvinistic in our text. They were experiencing in their hearts such a painful, agonizing grief and sadness because Jesus had told them that he was going away to the Father. They were not yet like the disciples at the end of Luke's gospel, where he ascended into heaven and there was a great joy. But here in John 16, they were in the deepest sorrow and trouble. Why? It seems that the words of Jesus that he was going away alone were stuck to their hearts. They failed to hear that to the Father, he was going away. In other words, they realized that Jesus was going away, but did not understand why he was going away or for what purpose this serves them. Jesus says that his going to the Father will be to their advantage, because then Jesus will send his Spirit to them, the Comforter. If he doesn't go to the Father, he will not send to them the Holy Spirit. Now, this has at least a couple of implications to consider. First, that Jesus is going to the Father does not only mean that he would then send the Holy Spirit. It also, in fact, includes everything that Jesus would go through in the meantime: his crucifixion, his burial, his descent into hell, his resurrection, his ascension, and his sending of the Spirit. He goes to achieve everything that the Father has given me to accomplish: the redemption of the whole world from sin, death, and the devil. Ascension does not only belong together with the Pentecost, but also with passion and resurrection, the whole thing. No wonder Jesus said that he was going to the Father was to the advantage for the 12, and it is for you too. Jesus went to the Father for you. Everything that he did was for you. Everything that the Father has done to Jesus, his Son, was for you. Everything that the Holy Spirit continues to do by bounding himself to preaching, absolution, baptism, the Lord's Supper, is for you. Jesus did not just go away, but he went away to the Father for you. Secondly, that Jesus was going to the Father, going away to the Father, also points us to the first evening of the day of resurrection. Because in John's Gospel, the Spirit was given to the 12, or perhaps the 10, when they were sent by Jesus for the apostolic ministry. Just as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And after he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain, they are retained." With this, a seemingly contradicting thing in our text, that the Comforter's office is to rebuke the world, is beginning to make good sense. Without reproving, there is no comfort. Without repentance, there is no comfort. Without faith in Christ, there is no comfort. This is what the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, does when Jesus gives the Spirit to the 12 to make them apostles. The work of the Spirit is bound to the apostolic office. Therefore, brothers, especially, you who just received the first calls, this text is for you. Shortly after the death of Luther, 4 months to be exact, Melanchthon wrote a short biography of Luther and portrayed him as the one who kept on hearing Jesus, that's Matthew 17, and then characterized his contribution in the office of the Holy Ministry by using 3 Greek terms, and they were didaskalika, electica, and exegetica, or teaching, reproving, and expounding, or doctrine, rebuke, and exegesis. According to Melanchthon, Luther taught repentance and faith. He refuted all and everything, everyone who had various errors. And he opened the scripture through the proper distinction between law and gospel. Simply put, Luther kept on hearing the voice of Jesus, confessed him, and reproved everything and everyone who diminished the Savior. The office of the Holy Ministry is to rebuke for the comfort. Electica is what Ha Parakletos does through the office of the Holy Ministry. So, brothers, you will soon receive the Holy Spirit at your ordination, just as you yourselves are rebuked of sin and comforted in forgiveness. So you will be used by our Lord as his instruments to rebuke and comfort the people in the places where Jesus has called you. The ascension of the Lord is meaningful, particularly for those who are put into the office of the Holy Ministry, as Ephesians 4 tells us that the ascended Lord gave the gifts of ministry. Jesus did not remove himself from us. Rather, he made himself even more available by ascension, so that through the office, he speaks and bestows his body and blood for us to drink, eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sin. Don't look for him where he is not. He is right here with us and for us. And don't guide people to the place where he is not. Gather them around at the foot of the pulpit and around the Lord's table. Happy Ascension Day. Amen.